We'd like you to turn to the book of Mark, 16th chapter. We'll read the first few verses there. I was going to read out of Luke 24, but that was in the Sunday school lesson, so we had that read already. I think Mark talked about the passage in Matthew, so I figured we'll go to the one in Mark today. Mark 16, starting in verse 1. This is one of the accounts of the events that first Lord's Day, first Sunday morning after Jesus' resurrection. It says, "Now when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, brought spices and that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they said among themselves, 'Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?' But when they looked up, they saw the stone had been rolled away, for it was a very large one. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, 'Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him as he said to you.' So they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid." This is one of the accounts there of the events that morning. I found an illustration I like to read here about. It says, "A minister was in Italy, and there he saw the grave of a man who had died centuries before, who was not a believer, and completely against Christianity, but also a little afraid of it too. So the man had a large stone slab put over his grave, so that he would not have to be raised from the dead, in case there was a resurrection from the dead. He had insignias put all over the slab saying, 'I do not want to be raised from the dead. I don't believe in it.' Evidently, when he was buried, an acorn must have fallen to the grave. So 100 years later, that acorn had grown up and through the grave and split the slab. It was now a tall, towering oak tree. The minister looked upon it and said, 'If an acorn which has the power of biological life in it can split a slab of that magnitude, what can the acorn of God's resurrection power do in a person's life?'" So, gathered together here today to celebrate what we call Easter Sunday. That word is only used in the King James Version. Most versions say Passover. But the main thing is that we're celebrating what happened, not necessarily a title of what you call the day. We're celebrating the greatest event in history, that Jesus came to this earth, lived like we did. He was a man. He was God, but also he died like we did. Like I said in the Sunday lesson, Mark said he died like we did. If all he did was die on this cross, that's not enough. But it says that on the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures. So we meet to celebrate or commemorate one of the cardinal doctrines of the Christian faith. That is Jesus Christ's resurrection. So we might say the title of my sermon I have today is called He is Risen. That's got an exclamation mark. Then so what? So you might say, what is its significance today to us? What are the implications to Christians throughout the ages and for us today? We always want to know what the Bible says, what it means, and what it means to us. I think the personal bodily resurrection of Jesus from the dead testifies to the fact that He is the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God. The first point I have is, without the resurrection of Jesus, Christianity would not exist. Jesus prophesied that he would die and be raised on the third day. If you want to turn, I'm going to John chapter 2, 18 to 22 in our text next. The point is that without Jesus dying on the cross, without him really being resurrected, we wouldn't be here today. There'd be no group or no religion called Christianity. But in John chapter 2, verse 18 to 22, the Lord said, "Or so the Jews answered and said to him, 'What sign do you show us, since you do these things?' Jesus answered and said to them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Then the Jews said, "It's taken 46 years to build this temple, and will you raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. Therefore, when he had risen the dead, disciples remembered that he had said this to them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. We know when the women got to the grave side of the tomb there in the Luke passage that I didn't read, it says that he told them in Luke 24, verse 6, "He is not here, he's risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee." So the angels tell these women that they had heard that Jesus had promised that he was going to die on the cross, but he would be resurrected and come back on the third day, be resurrected. So Jesus didn't just say it one time. He said it many times in his ministry that he came down to this earth to die for the sins of mankind. He did come to show us how to live the right kind of life. He came to heal people. He came to forgive sin. The main thing he came is to seek and to save the lost. So we know the credibility of Jesus' cause rests on the resurrection. It's also a demonstration of his own power. In John chapter 10, verse 17, it says, "Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it again. This command I received from my Father." So Jesus had the power to lay his life down. We know in an earthly sense of the word, men did kill Jesus. They did. The Roman government executed him. The Jews were behind that also. But he didn't have to go through it. I think this morning Mark said in his lesson that he maybe could and he couldn't do something. He had to and he didn't do it. He didn't have to come down here, but he did. Even when he was up on that cross, he still could have said, one song says he could have called 10,000 angels to help him. But he didn't do that there because of love for us. So, and he said that I lay my life down. But he also said I can raise it back up again. Jesus was certified dead by expert executioners. Romans were very proficient at executions. Those soldiers there at that cross knew when somebody was dead. Some people say, well, he didn't really die. He just was put in the tomb in a swoon, perhaps, and they come and got him out later. But we know that's not true. He was dead there. One man, Joseph Arimathea, a Pharisee, and perhaps Nicodemus, maybe they went to ask for his body from Pilate. They buried him in that tomb of Joseph Arimathea. Showing the Bible, it says he was buried among the rich. He buried in a rich man's tomb. And he was seen alive after his resurrection by many witnesses. I think on the back of today's bulletin here, you've got a listed of some of the ones who saw Jesus after his resurrection. It wasn't just hearsay. It wasn't just that, well, one person saw him or heard about it and told somebody else. But it says he saw the women were there, disciples there. One time, 10 were there, Thomas absent. 11 were there, Thomas present. And then later on in the book of the Corinthian letter, Paul says that 500 saw him at one time. And then that way there. But it wasn't an isolated event. Paul wrote, "For I have delivered to you the first of all that which I received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. He was buried. He rose again on the third day, according to the Scriptures. He was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. After that, he was seen by 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remained to the present. But some have fallen away. After that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by me as one born out of due time." That passage in the Corinthian letter And that chapter is one we read a lot at the table. It talks about the power of God in raising Jesus from the dead. It also shows many different people who saw him. And it mentions James. James was his half-brother who didn't believe in him before the resurrection. Jesus' half-brother, James, Jude, and one named Joseph in there did not believe in him until after the resurrection. And then it talks here about Paul here. The resurrection of Jesus proved that he was God. Back when, before Jesus was born, when the angel came to Mary and told her that she would be pregnant with child, the Son of God, he also told Joseph that Jesus would be the Son of God, to be named Emmanuel, which means God with us. The Gospel of John proclaims the deity of Jesus all through the Gospel. He is God. Jesus claimed to be God. We know if he claimed to be God, and it can be proven that he wasn't, that he would be a liar. And even a wicked liar, we know that's not true. He told the Jews one time when they were questioning him or confronting him, before Abraham was, I am. He claimed to be God at that time there. He said, I and the Father are one. He said, he who has seen me has seen the Father. We might say then, well, so what? It happened many years ago. I believe it happened. But why is it important to us today? People in those days might have said it also. We know it's important for a lot of reasons. First of all, we said it declares his sonship. We know the resurrection is very important. Without the resurrection, we would not be here this morning. No need to be here. At the resurrection, Jesus fell on the earth 40 days teaching his disciples. It was the 11 at that time. Judas had committed suicide. They had not chosen Matthias yet. Although the resurrection is the most important thing there, the plan of God was not really finished. Jesus' time on the earth was not really finished that time. He still had to be what's called the ascension. That's listed in the first part of Acts, or even the Great Commission there. In the book of Acts, Jesus is on the earth for 40 days. He's teaching the disciples. They're out there at the Mount of Olives, maybe out there just for a daily teaching session. And all of a sudden, they're listening to him. All of a sudden, he starts rising in the air. Now, they had seen him all through their lives here on the earth. They had seen his resurrection. But I've still got to think that would be amazing to them to see a man go up in the air. And then, at that count there in Acts 1, the angels say, well, men of Galilee, why are you staring in the sky? He said, this same Jesus will come back in like manner you saw him go up. So we have the promise of the Lord's coming again for us in that story of the resurrection and the ascension. We have the promise of the Lord coming back. Jesus is up there in heaven right now interceding for us, our great high priest. But he will come back again for us. He died to sin once for all. It also means that he has the power to fulfill all his promises. The Word of God has many promises in there. If you see a promise in there, no matter how minute or how profound or how deep or how open it is, it's going to be fulfilled one day. We know we live in a world today where promises mean less and less. Coming down here, up home, and come down here, even across from Springfield to here, you see the signs in the yard of people running for office. One guy running for a magistrate. I'm not sure whether he's kin to Joe or not, but the fellow's name was Settles. A cousin. And then we were in Bullock County. We saw a sign for some fellow named Settles running for office too. I don't know who he is. But anyway, we see these people running for office. And some are probably good people and will keep their promises where they go to Frankfort, Washington, Springfield, wherever they're going to. But we know a lot of people that make promises today don't keep them. We read about promises made in families that are not kept. Many things happen among non-believers are happening among Christian folks today also. Jesus promised that he would go to prepare an eternal home for us. That's the passage in John 14 we read many times here. I'm sure you've heard it here many times, where he says, I've got to go away, but I will come again for you. He promised to provide us everything we need if we'll serve Him above everything, above self. It also verifies our justification. Jesus claimed that His blood would be sufficient for forgiving sin. By raising Jesus from the dead, God demonstrated His acceptance of Jesus as a sacrifice for our sins. The hope of the resurrection helps us or gives us hope for our own resurrection, because we know that if God didn't have the power to raise His own Son from the dead, how can He have the power to raise us at the last day? In 1 Peter chapter 1, we'll read a couple of verses in 1 Peter chapter 1 about that hope that we have of the resurrection. This morning at Cherry Street, Brother Jeff Adams is preaching about that word hope. He has H, you know, period, hope. Anyway, there it's an acronym. He's talking about the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. But in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, blessed is the Lord God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last days. So we have our own resurrection is important too. We have to believe and know that if we stay faithful to Him, that one day we'll be raised to be with Him. We don't know whether that'll be with Him by the cause of death. If the Lord doesn't come back in our lifetimes, we will die physical death. But if He does come our lifetime, we'll be raised to meet Him in the air, as it says in the Thessalonian letter. The resurrection gives us a living hope also in verse 21 of that chapter, who through Him believe in God, who raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. So it was in the power of God that He was resurrected. The power of the Holy Spirit. And Paul told the Romans that it was the power of the Holy Spirit that raised Jesus. So we have not to fear our own death. A lot of people, even as Christians, they fear death. Even you say, well, the Lord's coming back, and that, some people, is a fearful thing. Now, if you weren't in Christ, I can understand that. But for a Christian, the thought of the Lord coming back should be a great thing. But we know that if we were to die in the Lord today, our body would stay in the ground. But we know our soul goes to be with the Lord. It means that I today should live my life wholly devoted to Jesus. Because of the resurrection, because we have a hope to look forward to beyond this life here, we can live a life down here that is righteous, not of our own self, but because of what Jesus did. We're told to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age while we look for the Lord's coming. That's the Titus passage. So, one who believes that Jesus lives will live his own life accordingly. If we truly believe that we will live again, that will help us today. Last point I have before we close, the resurrection points onward to His coming again. We mentioned a little bit in this point before, but it points onward to His coming. The resurrection, from a process of human standpoint, started back in eternity past, where the Lord made the promise or made the command that He knew man would sin, but He knew that He had a plan settled that would redeem mankind. He knew that Jesus would come in the fullness of time, and He knew that Jesus would die on the cross. He knew that He would be resurrected, and He knew that He would be ascended back to Him. So We know that it's not over at that time there. The Lord's in heaven. The angels said at the ascension, this same Jesus will come back in like manner. So His going back to heaven is just a phase of eternity that He one day will come back for us. It's the cornerstone of the whole Christian faith. It seals the truth that Christ is the Son of God with power. He died for us. He overcame death. He's back in heaven, now preparing a place for us. I think we're told a lot in the Bible about eternity. We sing that song, Out of the Ivory Palaces. We don't know what heaven looks like, but we know because the Father's there, the Son's there, the Holy Spirit's there, the holy angels are there. We know that it's a great place, a beautiful place. One song says, how beautiful heaven must be. And we know that we will be there with Him if we follow Him down here. If we, by faith in Him, take for our word what the women received there on that day in Luke, especially in Luke 24, He is not here. He is risen indeed. If we believe that and let it permeate our lives down here in this in the here and now, one day we'll receive that greeting from Him where He says, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into thy rest. So the resurrection is very important. Without the resurrection, there's no hope at all. I think Paul told the Corinthians that if Jesus was not raised from the dead, we are a pitiful people. That we have no hope at all. We're still in our sins. No hope at all. But we know that we do have hope. And hope reigns eternal. And that hope is in because of Jesus' death on the cross, His resurrection, His ascension, that we can look forward to a day. We hope it's today. It could be today. The Lord could come today. We don't know when He's coming back. If anybody tells you they know, they're a liar. But He could come today. So that tells us that it should be a motivation for us to live Christian lives, live lives that are close to the God, and knowing we have a life based on fact, based on Jesus, who He is, who He said He is. So if you have a need, we ask you to come out. We stand and sing. What will be our song, Sandy?